What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Saturday Nights, Josh Hadley, as well as The Cat.
Hello.
You always open the same every single night.
Okay, I could do something different. What the fuck do you want?
See, that level of indignity towards me is what I expect. And we also have Charlie the Fister McMullen.
Hello.
Oh, Jesus. It's going to be one of those nights, I can tell already.
Well, if she's not going to use it, fuck it. I'm not going to just leave it there.
Let's just get into this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Okay, I've often known you can find just about anything on Craigslist. I didn't know that Huffington Post calls it a woman, but legally it's a trans man named Donald Waylade, 22-year-old from Arizona, put out an ad to have sex with a horse on Craigslist. I'm going to quote the ad first. I am 22 years old and I want to play with a male horse. Simple as that. If you have access to a male horse and can allow me access to a male horse, then contact me, please. I will do something in return. Unquote.
Okay, so this person is essentially offering something implied, maybe sex, in exchange to have sex with a horse.
Before or after the horse sex, though? That's the big question, right?
Ew, you don't want a horse's sloppy seconds.
Oh, my. I don't know. I think a lot of people are probably rushing to judgment on this. Let's just look at this with an open mind. First of all, when you say trans man, is he becoming a woman or is she becoming a dude?
He is becoming a woman, but at the point he got arrested, he is still legally a man.
Okay, then I will say, first of all, sir, once you do become a woman, fucking pace yourself. Work up to getting fucked by a horse. You don't have to take on the world your first time out, buddy.
Do you think his eyes were glued to the screen for this ad?
Oh, don't give me that mucilage. I would think it would behoove you to be better than that, Josh.
Damn it, I was going to make a hoof joke next. You suck. I get that people have fetishes. Isn't the whole point of a fetish to kind of keep it a fetish and not advertise it on Craigslist? Here's the other thing. If any of you guys ever been to a farm, you've seen a horse cock, he wanted to perform oral sex on the horse first. I don't know how wide you can open your mouth. The head of that horse's cock is most likely as big as his or her head.
Well, first of all, I will say good etiquette for when he does become a woman.
You don't get to talk anymore. Kat?
All I can think is, yes, everybody has fetishes and you know, to each their own. And who are we to judge other people? But this is what porn is for. And if you can't get your kicks with porn, then you have more issues and you shouldn't advertise them.
We had a guy in this area that was arrested for, I cannot believe I'm going to say this. When I was working in the news, he was arrested for his third charge of having sex with dead deer.
Bambi, oh God.
Well, just the fact that like he would, you know, find some deer head on the road and go,
I'm going to stick my dick in that.
That really is a nice looking deer vag. Oh, and I never even asked if it was a female deer. Doe.
Oh, yeah. Dear.
This is like some sort of sick punishment.
Ha.
Nice.
So what happened was that he, she, and I'm saying that not in a derogatory way. I'm saying legally a male, looks like a female. He, she was arrested because somebody saw this, and it's illegal to have sex with animals in Arizona. And Sheriff Joe Aprio, oh, such a great man there, arrested Waylade for the fourth offense. This is the fourth time he, she has been arrested for this.
For soliciting sex from an animal?
Or at least having sex with an animal. It's an alleged animal abuser. Okay. So it's considered animal abuse. I guess they don't even care whether the animal would have enjoyed it, right?
Well, I mean, you know.
Well, cat's creeped out now.
Fool me once, you know, shame on you. Fool me up to four times, shame on us. Like who doesn't see it? Who doesn't see it coming for the fourth time? Come on.
All right, well, let's move from that horrifying little bit of news to something just as horrifying, really.
Now, if we let you out, are you going to try to fuck a horse again? No.
No, you gotta.
Oh, Donald.
In Brasilia, a man named Professor Daryl Dixon Mendez Xavier. Say that 10 times fast.
I'd rather not.
I don't think I can.
He was a jiu-jitsu expert who beat and raped his one-year, eight-month-old stepson, okay? He turned himself in along with his lawyer and was held for 30 days pending investigation. Well, he was put into general population. He was raped by 20 prisoners and stabbed a whole bunch of times, too. So they stitched him up and put him back in Gin Pop, where the prisoners tore all of his stitches out and re-raped him again. That would just be the end of the story. That would be a child abuser, a child rapist, a pedophile getting what he deserves, right? On the website we're reading this on, aptly titled humanstupidity.com.
I can see that.
They take us to task. Basically, anyone who thought he got what he deserved is just as bad as him, doesn't understand what the criminal justice system is supposed to be like. I'm saying no. I say this guy got what he deserved both times. You don't beat and rape a child. Where do you guys fall on this? Do you think, I mean, I don't know where, if either of you think he should have been raped or not, either time, but...
I'm going to have to go with the people who don't like when other people get raped a whole lot. There is a point to which the punishment fits the crime. Eye for an eye.
Butt fuck for a butt fuck.
What kills me is that this is the concept of justice, where a bunch of people no more virtuous than this guy decided that he was the biggest scum out of the lot, and that raping him up the ass 20 times minimum was the right thing to do. Like, I don't even understand that logic. I physically, my brain cannot actually comprehend how people came to that conclusion. I don't get it. I don't get why people think that rape for any reason is right at all, period, whatsoever. And that for some reason, rape, like the mass gangbanging of one guy, especially after he's already been stabbed a bunch of fucking times, why keep doing it? What makes them so holy and so able to pass judgment on this guy?
See, this is why I wanted to discuss this, because you and I have different sides on this. Your side is just as valid as mine. I just happen to disagree with you on it.
Right. And I get it, because it's like this guy got what he fucking deserved. I just don't think the punishment fits the crime. I mean, the actual type of punishment probably fits the crime if you go for the eye for an eye. But in
Brasilia, he would have only served a year in jail for doing this thing to an under 2-year-old kid. To me, the sentence was not weighted correctly to what the crime was, because down there, rape's not really an issue. It's down there, it's almost seen as the rape victim's fault for allowing it to happen.
Oh, okay. Well, do we know for certain he would have only have served 1 year?
No, that's the maximum he was looking at.
Oh.
So he had not been sentenced yet. He had just turned
for
himself
for the rape
in.
Or for the...
For the rape and beating of his stepson. That's where all the prisoners were kind of, we're going to show this motherfucker that you don't do this to a kid and only serve a year maximum. No. I think that's where their head was, among other places.
I don't necessarily think that's what they were thinking. I think the idea that any act against a child, especially a sexual act, is somehow worse than any other act, I don't think that's necessarily true 100% of the time. But we sort of look at it as being that way. A sexual act against a kid is just as horrible as, I don't know, raping a girl after roofying her. You're taking something out on somebody who can't defend themselves. It's just as horrible every time. But we see children as these innocent, perfect creatures who we should try to do no harm to, physically or sexually, even though we do terrible things to kids all the time. And that somehow that people who are in prison for murder, who they could have fucking murdered children for all we know, but somehow the sexual act on a child is far, far worse than any of the other crimes that these people have committed.
And that is a completely valid point. So I don't want anyone to think, because we are disagreeing, that I'm dismissing what you're saying, because you have completely valid points on this. Charlie, where do you weigh in on this?
Cat, you ignorant slut.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't say that nearly Dan Aykroyd enough.
I'm kidding, of course, but I do sort of lean more towards Josh's side of this particular argument, because take a look at what this guy did step by step. When you really break it down, I'm going to assume he molested the kid first. Now, this is not a kid. This is not a child. This is a baby. This is a 20-month-old baby, his stepson, the baby of the woman that he has married, someone that he is supposed to protect, someone who is part of his family now, molested him. Then, because he's some kind of soulless criminal fuck, he beats him. He is a jiu-jitsu expert, and he beats a baby within an inch of its life, a baby that he has just raped and shattered his life forever. That is among the worst kind of scum on the planet. Now think about the other 20 prisoners, okay? 20 violent sociopathic scumbags unanimously agreed about this guy. To get them to agree about anything is a miracle.
To get them to agree what to watch on TV is a miracle.
My God, this is 20 violent criminals agreeing that this guy, like, we are, like, just hopeless pieces of shit, but this guy, fuck this guy. Yes, I say that he 100% got what he deserved. He, what happened to him does not even touch what he did to that baby. I think he should have got it much worse.
So in addition to 20 maybe not completely stable people committing an act that is heinous, rape is heinous no matter who you do it to. We just agree that raping, you know, somebody who can't defend themselves like a baby is just the most heinous. But the fact that they physically beat this guy, stabbed him, and then as soon as he was out of the hospital with his ass stitched up, they did it all again. And for me, the whole really fucked up thing is that, like, the prison guards or whoever allowed that to happen all over again.
That's the other aspect, is people are saying that the guards knew this would happen the second time. Maybe they didn't know this would happen the first time. Okay, we'll give them the benefit of the doubt there. Fair enough. But the second time, you had to know, putting him back in Gen Pop, this was going to happen again. I think this was the guards making a decision as well. That's where, Kat, you and I will absolutely agree. I think the guards overstepped their lines. After it happened the first time, no matter what he did, he should have been put in protective custody. I mean, obviously the rules are different down there and the laws are, but the guards have to carry a measure of the blame here.
I agree with that. I agree with that, you guys. I agree with that 100%. I think once you become a prison guard, once you take any job within law enforcement, your prime directive, your all that matters is upholding the law, and they didn't do that, and that's wrong. There's no excuse for that. I just can't say that if I was one of those guards, I can't say I wouldn't do that. If I'm being completely honest, there are times in all our lives when your own personal code of ethics comes into play.
I could get beating and all that. I can't wrap my head around why rape is a solution for rape. Like,
I don't think it is. Like, I don't think that changed anything. I don't think that it made the world a better place. Of course it didn't. Rape is not a retaliation for anything. I can't honestly say that he didn't deserve it, though.
I'm kind of there as well. I don't think, like, rape should have been the answer, that when he turned himself into the cops, where I would have gone, man, I hope he gets raped. I just kind of, after he got raped, I looked at it as, dude, I don't feel sorry for you, though. I don't know what that says about me, that I didn't want it to happen, but when it did, I didn't feel bad that it happened. Does that make sense?
I mean, it's a certain level of apathy that you can naturally have for somebody who did something terrible. I don't really feel... I mean, I definitely feel like he got, you know, some sort of more divine punishment than probably what the law had in store for him. That was, like, definitely karma's way of coming back and going, oh, you fucked up, literally. It just seems so extreme. And just, to me, the irony or whatever of people who are just as terrible but in different ways meting out the punishment, just it just sort of makes me mad.
And I totally get that, Kat, and I envy that. I do. Like, I wish I had, like, a sense of idealism as strong as yours. And I don't know, most of the time I do, but in a situation like this, it's just blazingly clear to me about what's right and what's wrong concerning this person. I don't know. I mean, I'm ashamed of agreeing with what happened, but there, I don't know if it's because I'm a parent or not, but there is a part of me that agrees with what happened.
And that's another huge thing is that I don't have kids. So I don't have that, you know, like absolute 100% desire to protect my own child because I don't have one. So I don't know what lengths I would go to and what I would find acceptable as a parent.
You'd be a good mom, so don't talk like that.
You would you would be a good mom.
I fucking hate children so much, though. You don't even know.
I used to, too, maybe, and then I had one.
Maybe we get some kind of reality show if the three of us raise a baby together.
Only if I get to be Tom Selleck.
Fair enough.
All right, on that note, got a little heavy here. We'll come back and talk about some other things where we can maybe make some jokes after Heart.
Boy was in the hallway drinking a glass of tea. From the other end of the hallway, a rhythm was generating. Another boy was sliding up the hallway. His gold nerves merged perfectly. He merged perfectly with the hallway. He merged perfectly with the mirror in the hallway. The boy looked at Johnny. Johnny wanted to run, but the movie kept moving as planned. The boy took Johnny, he pressed him against a locker. He drove it in, he drove it home, he drove it deep in Johnny. The boy disappeared. Johnny fell on his knees, started crashing his head against a locker. Started crashing his head against a locker. Started laughing hysterically when suddenly Johnny gets a feeling. He's been surrounded by horses, 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 horses coming in all directions. White, shining, silver, studs with their nose in flames. He saw horses, 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 horses. Do you know how to pony? Like Boney Maroney. Do you know how to twist?
Silken hair and found a stare And I didn't waste time, I just walked right up and saw that up there. There is a sea up there. There's a sea up there. There's a sea, sees the possibility. There's no land but the land. There's no sea but the sea.
Possibilities up there. Here's a wall of possibilities.
Possibilities
up there. There are several walls of possibilities up there.
First possibility is to see around me. I'm standing there with my legs spread like a sailor. Felt his hand on my knee on the screen, and I looked at Johnny and handed him like a branch of coral flame in the heart of man. The waves were coming in like Arabian stallions gradually lapping into seahorses. He picked up the blade and he pressed it against his smooth throat, spoon, and let it dip in the veins, dip in to the sea, to the sea of possibilities. Dip in,
it started hardening in my hand,
to the sea,
and I felt the arrows of possibilities.
I put my hand inside his cranium. Oh, we had such a brainiac, no more, but no more, no more. I gotta move from my mind to the air. Go, 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 gotta go and do the what you see. Yeah, do the what you see. Do the what you see. Shot open, coiled snakes, white and shining, twirling. Too warm, too unbelievably smooth, like playing in the sea, in the sea.
Your possibilities, possibility was a blade, a shine.
I hold the key to the sea of possibilities. There's no man but the man.
Look at my hand, and there's a red stream. Went streaming. Sands, like fingers, like arteries,
between
like fingers,
the eyes of a horse,
laid, pressing it against his throat,
your eyes,
he opened his throat,
your
his vocal
eyes,
cords started shooting like
of a horse,
and the pituitary gland. So high,
my heart,
that nobody heard,
no one heard that cry,
no one
Johnny.
Heard the butterfly flapping in his throat, nobody
his
heard, he was on that bed, it was like his a sea of jelly, and so he seized the first
his vocal cords
to shot up. Possibility
had
pituitary glands. It was a black tube. He felt himself disintegrate.
Nothing happening.
Go inside the black tube. So when he looked out into
everything
deep, around to a simple rock and roll song.
Welcome to Heart Attack. I am Hart D. Fisher. With me, of course, is Josh Hadley, and we're interrupting your what the fuck moment to have a little bit of fun. Things have been pretty crazy for me out here in Los Angeles. Things have been pretty crazy for Josh, and something just happened this week that's going to probably impact my business. It's going to impact everybody's business. It's going to impact the economy, and no one's really fucking talking about it. Josh, why don't you break it down for the audience?
Well, net neutrality died this week, but did you notice something else that happened this week?
Well, when you say net neutrality died, what do you mean?
What I mean is the FCC has decided to back off forcing the companies, Time Warner, Comcast, Verizon, etc., in keeping the net a completely free place where everyone has the same access to everything. The FCC said, we're sick of fighting this. These guys can fight it out for themselves. So now, legally, they can charge whatever they want. If you're a competitor, you get charged more if you want the same speed as one of their customers. But did you notice also this week, Hart? The same week net neutrality died and the FCC backed off, they also okayed the merger between Time Warner and Comcast.
What?
The same week.
I didn't hear about that, dude. Jesus Christ. So now the biggest internet service provider is going to merge with Time Warner, and both of them have really shoddy track records of service. And I can tell you, even today, my Time Warner internet is running sluggish and shitty as fuck. It is running slow as hell. I have dropout problems on a regular basis. And my business is the web. You know, we're recording this via Skype right now. You're in Wisconsin. I'm in Los Angeles. I need the web. And I'm already paying extra for faster speeds, you know?
Is it a coincidence that those two things happen in the same week? Could be. Mm-hmm. I doubt it, though.
Well, what does this mean for you at home? Well, what it means is a lot of Americans are on kind of a fixed income. A lot of Americans out there are having a hard time making the bills that they already have. And guess what, folks? The companies are out to charge you more money. They have figured out very simply that, oh, people are leaving cable. They're walking away from cable. Well, the new business that's going to replace cable is internet. So it's a different cable. And they are making plans to be able to bill you and bill you and bill you into the ground. Because it's not just about the death of net neutrality. We're also still fighting the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which, as we find out, is filled with more domination, censorship, sending people to prison. And it also gives control of the web to the UN. Isn't that my understanding? That America is giving up its control to the United Nations?
To a degree. But then there's also the conflicting ruling that came down this week about copyright infringement, which will be interesting considering it absolutely conflicts with what the TPP wants to do. Because the TPP wants to say everything is copyright infringement if that's what the movie studios, for example, say it is, right? Well, the courts just came down that said only people who upload copyrighted material are infringers, not the people who download it. That is in absolute contrast to what the Trans-Pacific Partnership is trying to get. So it's almost like two halves of the same brain fighting for dominance. And we're all going to get screwed in the middle of this fight.
Well, the whole point of, like, people may not understand the term net neutrality. And what net neutrality means is that your internet service provider can't discriminate among the content providers. Like, let's say Comcast owns NBC Universal. So Comcast can slow down Filmon.com at their discretion, and they could slow them down and say to Filmon.com, hey, if you want to reach Comcast customers, you're going to have to pay us more money. And then they're going to turn around and go to the customers and say, hey, if you want to get your Filmon.com, you got to pay us more money. This issue of net neutrality is like, it's a safety feature to protect us, we the consumer, we the people. It's very important that they make it a neutral thing so that nobody can do that, so they can't just charge you for more water through your pipeline. The whole issue involves them being able to indiscriminately ramp up somebody's ability to reach you or not. So let's say Hulu would have more easy access than Netflix would, because Comcast is in direct competition with Netflix.
That actually already happened. Netflix,
really?
Netflix had to make a deal. I don't remember what the exact numbers were, but they're going to be paying millions and millions of dollars extra to Comcast to keep their current speeds on Netflix. Now, do you think that Netflix is going to absorb that $300, $500 million hit a year? No, they're not. They're going to pass that on to you, the customers. What also happened this week, Hart? Netflix announced it's raising its prices. I wonder if that has any correlation to the deal they were forced to cut with Comcast, huh?
And Comcast forced them to cut this deal. They didn't do it because they wanted to, and they didn't do it because it'd be better for their customers. They did it because they had to. They had to do it. And this idea that we're going to retreat from net neutrality is a big mistake. It's a big problem for us. And again, that's kind of why you want to pay attention to what's happening in the news. And you might want to let your elected representative know how you feel about these things. As we get active in our governance, we need to take these things on head to head, because it seems like the corporations are just jamming it down their throat while they have unlimited ability to contribute to campaign contributions and practically just buy up candidates. I mean, we've already talked on this show about political guy in San Francisco who was working for Russian mob guys and Chinese gangsters.
Funny part about that one, Hart, was the fact that this was one of the biggest gun control advocates in California while he was selling guns to Mexican cartels.
Yeah, I know, right?
The irony of that just always strikes me as, wow.
Well, so you're telling me that the Comcast Time Warner deal has been approved, huh?
It's been given the okay. They still have steps to go through, but they've jumped through one of the first hurdles they had to. And let's be honest, we all knew that hurdle was going to be jumped through. You know this is not going to be stopped. As much as we might bitch about it, it's going to happen.
Comcast is a company with documented anti-competitive instincts. Comcast is a company that has definitely looked around and tried to destroy their competition. I mean, isn't that what American businesses do? You know,
I remember in the 90s and early 2000s, Hart, Comcast was voted by the Better Business Bureau, I think 5 years in a row, the worst cable and internet provider in America.
Mm-hmm.
So how did they become the largest then?
Pretty crazy, man. It's pretty crazy. This is why we try to stay active, try to stay a part of the community, try to talk to people, try to get active, because this shit is just bad, man. This is going to be bad. Again, this is bad for my business. And what I'm saying is, like, American Horrors, my channel, it's free to watch worldwide. But if Comcast had their way with it, they want to be able to throttle down a service like Filmon. They want to throttle down competition like American Horrors. Because make no mistake, guys, American Horrors is in direct competition with Comcast and NBC Universal, because they own my only real competition left, the only horror channel on cable systems, Chiller. Because FearNet was absorbed by Comcast, is being dissolved by Comcast. So they're a direct competitor of mine. So, of course, why wouldn't they want to fuck with Filmon? Why wouldn't they want to fuck with American Horror?
If they're the ones that control how Filmon in general and American Horrors in specifics get into your house, that would be like going, Hart, to your worst enemy and saying, I need you to let me in to kick your ass.
Yeah, that's really what it's about, man. So I urge all our listeners to get online and start reading about this and start trying to contact your elected representatives. Well, we're coming up to the end of our segment here. I just wanted to mention briefly that we've hit our 50th episode of the 1 Hour Heart Attack. And this week we brought on my old friend Gokor Chavichian to talk about MMA, to talk about his career in martial arts, his dojo. And I really think it's a very different kind of heart attack. You guys are used to me being angry and yelly, but this was kind of funny, more of a love fest, because Gokor has been an old friend of mine, and I thought it was a pretty interesting show, and Josh barely got to talk at all.
I don't think I said a single word, actually.
So I urge folks to check it out, and by the end of this week, we will also have the, quote, pulled down episode of Heart Attack 48, which is the episode that got yanked due to a copyright web bot attacking us. Yes, we were attacked by a web bot, but it's okay. We fixed the episode. We're going to get it post next week, and we're going to be all good. Thank you guys for listening to Heart Attack. Josh, thank you for giving me 10 minutes of your show every week. Folks, we're out of here. Find me on Twitter, Hart_Fisher, or find us online at facebook.com/Heart Attack Radio.
Georgia has what they are calling the guns everywhere bill. What I'm calling is the what could possibly go wrong bill. The Safe Carry Protection Act was just passed by Governor Nathan Deal that will, quote, allow people who follow the rules to protect themselves and their families from people who don't follow the rules. Oh, my good God. The Second Amendment should never be an afterthought. It should reside at the forefront of our minds.
We should think about guns every second of the day.
Uh-huh. He basically overturned the law that says you cannot carry guns anywhere. You can now carry guns into bars. That's never going to backfire, no pun intended. You can now carry guns into schools. You can now carry guns into your office. You can now carry guns into anywhere in Georgia legally. You can carry a gun and nobody can even ask you if you have a permit until you've done something with the gun. No possible way this backfires. Again, I have to make, no pun intended, it's just the word we need here.
I think a lot of people are going to die because of this and they won't even get to watch Dark Knight Rises first. The reason I bring that up is because if if we had anything close to this law in Colorado, shit like that would be happening all the time. And that is exactly what's going to happen. When everyone's allowed to carry guns, everyone will be allowed to fucking carry guns.
This is going to be really, like, really well, I mean, obviously this passed as a bill, and people are going to think very highly of this until the first child dies. And then many, many, many more after that. And, yeah, guns in bars, and it's legal.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think a bar fight that results in someone dying is going to be the first thing that happens here.
That's definitely going to be the first thing, but it certainly won't be the last. And it's gonna go and go, and people are going to find ways to deflect it and blame it on something other than this law.
Obama's fault.
Yeah, they're going to blame it on Obama. They're going to blame it on Democrats. They're going to blame it on the gays. They're going to do everything but try and repeal this law, because obviously it's our human right to carry our guns wherever we want, because we are in danger literally everywhere we go, even in church.
And
like,
schools.
Seriously, in church.
With all of the school shootings we've had, do you think it's wise to be able to carry a gun in school?
See, my issue with like teachers and administrators carrying guns in school is that even though you get screened most of the time before you're purchasing a firearm, you are still one teacher's bad day away from getting shot. Because when you get angry, you don't necessarily control your actions. Doesn't matter if you're insane or not. Most people who get angry, like really, really angry, pick something up and throw it.
We've all been there.
I mean, literally, like, I had a teacher who was not paranoid, schizophrenic, nothing. There was nothing that would have prevented her from getting a gun, and she threw a desk at a student.
What was she, the She-Hulk?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry. I was picturing her desk, not like a student desk.
No, like a student desk. She threw a desk at a student, and we're like, holy shit. And then you talk about arming somebody like this to prevent incidents where... No. That teacher is like one bad student tantrum away from killing that student with a gun.
What about the students, though? Because this also means the students can carry guns in schools legally.
But they have to be legally eligible. I think that requires age.
As soon as they're 18.
Yes, I
and a lot of the dumber ones are 18 for a long time before they're
18. Yeah, I was a senior at 18. Because of just where my birthday fell and when I started school, I was 18 still in my senior year.
Oh, wow.
As was I. I was like 18 for the last 6 months of high school.
Yeah. And same here, because my birthday falls at the beginning of the year in February.
Yeah. When I think about like this law, like these are all places full of extremely unstable people. Whenever you hear about somebody going crazy, it's always in a school, in a church, or in a bar. Like, I don't want the possibility to exist that I could be heckled with a gun at some point, because words hurt enough.
Yeah, I can see that. As a stand-up comic, you might not want to play Georgia.
I wouldn't even want to visit Georgia.
Yeah, it wasn't high on my list anyway. They don't really appreciate me down in Georgia.
But this what could possibly go wrong law, like I said, that's my version of it, that also brings up a larger question. Why? Why do you need the ability to carry a gun into church? Why do you need the ability to carry a gun into school? Or, the most obvious, why do you need the ability to carry a gun into a bar? Why do you need this? How is no guns in school, no guns in church, no guns in bars somehow impeding your Second Amendment right to own a gun? The Second Amendment says you can own a gun. Doesn't say you can carry it around like a metal phallus.
I'm quoting from the bill, like from the article that you sent me. I believe they worded it, this is so that the people who follow the rules can protect themselves from the people who don't follow the rules.
It's that NRA bullshit of, you know what stops a bad person with a gun? 10 good people with guns. Oh,
let's go pee on some shit.
This is just so dumb, and again, this is going to, like you said, this is going to backfire on them, and lots of people are going to die in order to prove, it's like stand your ground. It's going to start killing people very quickly, and at first, it's not going to be people that you care about. It's going to be, scumbags. It's going to be the impoverished. It's going to be the poor. It's going to be the homeless.
Let's face it. It's going to be black people that die.
It's going to be black people. And that's at first. And the government won't care at first until white children start dying. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Somebody is going to bring a gun into school and kill kids. And they're going to be like, well, you know, we could have prevented this, but we had to let him into the building, even though he was carrying a gun.
Do you think we should start a pool on how long till this law is repealed after X amount of deaths?
That makes me feel unclean.
Fine, fair enough. Let's move on from that to, let's stick with schools, actually, here. Well,
because we're two for two.
Yes. GOP candidate for lieutenant governor, well, really aiming high there, E. Ray Moore is rallying people in South Carolina to get kids out of the godless schools. Quoting here, "We cannot win this war we're in as long as we keep handing our children over to the enemy to educate." I'll get back to that in a minute. "It cannot be fixed, the socialistic model, and we need to abandon that. As conservatives and Christians, if you think you're going to win this war you're in and leave your children in these schools, it will not happen." Unquote. Okay, I wanted to go back to that. Handing our children over to the enemy. Since when is teaching kids to read, teaching them math, and teaching them facts like science, since when does that make us the enemy?
The enemy to Christianity? Like, since forever. Well, they're not really big on facts, are they? And, okay, that came off as really cunty. I apologize. See, every time we have a religious issue on this show, I try really hard not to sound like such an asshole. Because, like, I like Christians. I do. I like the good ones. There's not many good ones left, though. Like, most Christians, to me, are like this guy who just say Christianity is the only thing that matters, and I need the power to change everything that doesn't agree with Christianity. This is the new Holocaust. This is going to escalate to that point. Christians just get way too fucking out of control. And, like, that's what I had planned on saying about this story, but the more I read the article, like, especially when it got to the part about Hillary Clinton, I just said, you know what? Good. Fuck them. They don't want to learn facts. Fine.
This all goes back to this whole totally 1,000% make-believe perceived war on Christianity, where Christians feel because not everybody agrees with them and because their morals and their ideas and what the Bible teaches doesn't necessarily line up with facts as they are taught in school, because school teaches facts, that they are somehow being discriminated against. And so this imaginary war that they're fighting.
But can you discriminate against the people who are the majority?
Well, you know what? They think that people can, even if they are so fucking out of touch with reality. It's maddening that they feel like they need to get up in arms about every little thing because it doesn't agree with them. And it's ridiculous. It's just so, so ridiculous. And people buy into it because they're being told what they want to hear. They're being told that they are being attacked by people who are not like them, and that these are the people who are making their lives bad, and they are what's wrong with the world. And it's, you're right. It's the Holocaust. Except we're just replacing the word Jews with godless people so that we can cover our bases a little bit better.
I want to put out a distinction right away. When I talk about the church, I talk about the church as an organization. In my area, and I know in many other areas, the local churches are not this hate-filled. They help people who are down on their luck. They don't even care if you're a Christian. They'll help a Jew. They'll help a Muslim. So when I talk about the church and what I'm about to say, I don't mean your local church and your local pastor, because the churches in your area probably do a lot of good things. I'm discussing the church as the organization of the church. That said, the church as an organization fears the fact that their kids are being taught things that are contradictory to the book that they hold so dear. Now, if you want to teach that, then teach that to your kids. But you cannot try and get other kids onto your side. More attacks the Common Core state standards. That's basically, you know, like No Child Left Behind. That's the standards that you have to use in schools. He wants to get rid of them because they are not held to biblical standards. So what he is saying is, my way is right. Fuck all of you.
I don't know. I mean, it's just all kind of terrifying when you think about it. I mean, this is probably like a worst case scenario coming into realization, because behavior like that, like just full on aggressive, hate filled, just we are Christians, fuck everyone else. We're gonna rid the world of everyone who doesn't believe what we believe in is such a fucking perversion of what Christianity should be at its best. Christianity, as you recall, was an alternative which, you know, like tried to embrace a more open mind, try not to, you know, be like all those Romans who shoved shit into my ribs and crucified me, stuff like that. Be more open to new ideas, and the world would be a better place.
I also seem to remember when I used to go to Sunday school that Jesus always preached that it doesn't matter whether you believe in me, as long as you're a good person, that's all that matters. Maybe I'm misremembering that part of the precious book, though.
Something, something, love thy neighbor, something, something. This imaginary war, and what kills me is that it's proven time and time and time again that the less education that you have, the worse off you are. To try and assert that you should take your kids out of school, public school, whatever. I've never known anybody who went to Catholic school and grew up a normal person. And I haven't really known a whole lot of people who went to homeschool and were socialized well. You are giving your kid their best chance by putting them in public education and letting them learn facts and letting them make their own religious decisions when they're old enough to think for themselves. But that's not what the church is about. It's not about free thinking. It's about obedience.
It's also about conversion, which isn't that the same thing that they blame Islam for?
Yes. Oh my God. So it just seems to me that if you want your kids to do well, that educating them is the single most important thing you can do. And given that it's required by law, you have to educate your children.
And this guy wants to run for the second highest office in his state. So that says something right there too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think my favorite part about one of his quotes was that he was talking about how they're pagan schools.
Not just that, but Charlie brought up the Hillary Clinton thing before. Now, I need to explain. A Janissary was a soldier for the Ottoman Empire, okay? So he's going to use the term Janissary just to get some background. Quoting Moore again, Hillary Clinton, who may be the next president, God forbid, was raised in a conservative Republican family. There is an example of a Janissary, and we are turning many of our children over to this system, unquote.
Yeah,
so what he's basically saying is the school system is specifically there to kill Jesus again.
It just kills me that the idea that you don't think what I think, therefore you have betrayed everything good. Like, oh, you grew up as a conservative Christian Republican household, and you have literally betrayed your family because you don't think all of the exact same thoughts as them. Like, that's so fucking ridiculous. Like, that's just, it's so unbelievably close-minded. Nobody who thinks, like, with that many gaps in logic and so distant from reality should be allowed a position of power.
Godless heathen.
Well, I just think that whatever religion you've chosen to use as an excuse to be a hate-filled piece of shit should primarily not be shoved into everyone else's face. And faith, especially, should have fuck all to do with school. They're two different things.
What education you believe, is education.
What you Eve believe and belief, what you learn right. are two different things. You should talk to your kids about your faith. You should, if there is a church, you should go to it. Fine. Don't shove it up everybody's ass. Just enjoy your faith and let that be enough. It should have fuck all to do with school. Get your kids an education because you are fucking them over if you're not.
I agree with that.
And if you have problems with education, then take your kids out and send them to a private school. And if you can't afford that, then you can't afford to complain.
That's what I've never understood. I've never understood that there are tons of religious schools for every kind of religion. The church is always trying to attack the public schools. If you want your kid to learn your version of the Bible and your version of education, there's a school for that. But why do you have to make my kid learn that? That's where my issue comes in.
And if the Christians don't like the public schools, may I offer, respectfully, offer an alternative? If your family is a Christian family and you truly believe, then you should start having kids and wait till you have one boy and one girl within 9 months of each other, of course, because you're not superheroes, and just drop them in the woods, and they will be the new Adam and Eve, and we'll see how that goes.
So my final thoughts are, Moore is dangerous. If he gets the second highest position in South Carolina, he can wreak a lot of havoc, because our education system, as it is falling apart at a shocking rate. And then to say, oh, it doesn't align with biblical theory, well, then we need to demolish that. That is dangerous. That is tunnel vision. The same thing that the Christians attack others for. Because I look at it as, you're entitled to your religion, you're entitled to believe what you want to believe, you're entitled to educate your kids as you want. You're just not entitled to do it to mine.
My fear with it is that it just breeds so much more ignorance. You don't improve any situation by learning less. And these are people, he's preaching to people who already think like him, who don't value education the way the rest of the people, I don't know, in the world do. We know that learning math and science is important, and that these things don't really go with religion every single fucking time, and that's okay. Doesn't matter what you believe. You can believe anything you want, but you still have to educate yourself on what's out there, because it's how you create a functioning world, planet, period. It's the only way that we can survive as a human race is to learn. And basically, they're just driving home this world of ignorance, where if something doesn't align with what I think, then it's bad and it should be taken away from everybody. And it just makes people think that being ignorant, not learning, is okay.
Follow that, McMullen.
Just a quick note to the Christians. I mean, religion is going to rob your children of every kind of joy there is. It'll be a sin to jerk off. It'll be a sin to get a blowjob. It'll be a sin to smoke pot. It'll be a sin to say the word fuck. It'll be a sin to watch movies. Pretty much everything will be a sin that they could ever get any enjoyment out of. So they're covered. Don't rob them of the joy of knowledge.
I'm going to quote Reverend Lovejoy. You ever actually read this thing? Technically, we can't even go to the bathroom.
Right. Religion will take care of all that. Make them lead the most pointless, boring, fucking useless life imaginable. So it's covered. Don't rob them of the joy of knowledge.
So, considering that we are robbing everyone of an hour of their life tonight, where can we find the cat?
Well, you can find my sincere apology for your wasted time over on Twitter at LabyrinthCat and on Facebook.com/NerdistCat. And you can also find my other show, Nerd to the Third, over on That Guy with the Glasses under the podcast tab.
McMullen, since you are a time burglar, where can people find you?
You can find me on geekjuicemedia.com. Socially, you can find me on Facebook or Twitter. And you know what? Search me on YouTube. There's going to be some more stand-up going up within the next few days.
Charlie's a funny guy. Well, funny in quotes, but funny nonetheless.
Relatively, I guess.
You can find me at Geek Juice Media, as well as 1201 Beyond. You can contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. And I'm also on Twitter now as The Real Josh Hadley. Have a good night, guys.
World, it is exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't destruction. Don't you understand what I'm trying to say? Can't you feel the fears I'm feeling today? If the button is pushed, there's no running away.
there'll be no one to save. With the world in a grave, take a look around you, boy. It's bound to scare you, boy. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. My blood's so mad, feels like coagulating. I'm sitting here just contemplating. I can't twist the truth, it knows no regulation. Handful of senators don't pass legislation, and marches alone can't bring integration. When human respect is disintegrating, this whole crazy world is just too frustrating. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Think of all the hate there is in Red China, then take a look around to Selma, Alabama. You may leave here for 4 days in space, but when you return, it's the same old place. The pounding of the drums, the pride and disgrace. You can bury your dead, but don't leave a trace. Hate your next door neighbor, but don't forget to say grace. And tell me over and over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. No, no, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
What the fuck is a 1201 Beyond production? Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.